You're listening to the KB Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Cindy Stewart Podcast, a source for encouragement as you learn to discover God's dream for your life. With a passion to help you on your journey, here is your host, Cindy Stewart.
I want to talk about pure love today, and we're just going to talk a little bit through it. I almost feel like God has something else. I just don't actually know what it is, but I'm going to start reading scripture, and then we'll go from there. So you guys just hang on, and we may be here for a minute. We may be here for a little while longer than a minute, so we'll see. We're going to start in John 1:29. And one of the things the Lord was talking to me about this week was, you know, who do you say I am? You know, that's one of the big questions that he asked his disciples. Who do they say I am? Who do you say I am? But I wanted to start out with who John said he was. John the Baptist. And it's John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Ooh, this is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. John saw the Lamb, and he testified that this is, he was the Son of God. When we think about pure love, you know, love's been a little bit distorted in our minds. We're taught what love is. You know, my granddaughter's 3, and she loves princesses and prince that come and save the princess. And so we're working on Jesus. Her and I are working on Jesus. And he is the ultimate savior. But, you know, for a 3-year-old, that's a little hard to comprehend. When you've got Snow White and she just needs a kiss from the prince. But when we talk about pure love, we talk about the purity of Christ and his love for us. That is pure love. We will never know the pureness of his love until we are in eternity with him. So John 3:16, like I said, we're just going to read some scriptures and talk for a minute. I'm still a little shaken. And like I said, I think the Lord wants to do something else, but I'm not really sure what. So we'll see. We'll see. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That God loved us so much that he gave his only Son for us. The Son that will give his very physical life so that we can have eternal life. That is pure love. Pure love. Let's go to Matthew 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man, I'm sorry, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's what we declare, that he is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Christ. You know, when it's interesting, as we think about, just think about your salvation time, when all of a sudden you realized that Jesus was the Savior. Jesus was the Son of God. And, you know, really in that time, I know when I got saved, I was 9, you know, I knew who Jesus was. I could not have put all the parts together that, you know, the Father sent. I just didn't know the whole story. But what I knew in my heart was that Jesus saved me from my sin. I knew that if I would give my life to him, that my life would be different. And then the journey of trying to figure out, who is he? You know, who is he as far as my life and how I live it out? That's a whole different process. We have the spiritual rebirth when we're born again. But then there's the physical rebirth as we live our lives for Christ and learn more and more who he is. And not only who he is, but thinking about all the things he has done to get us where we are. You know, the times he's protected us, the time he's intervened for us, the time he sent someone to say, hey, you need to come back over to the Jesus side and quit running around like you're crazy doing something else. Amen. You know, I mean, he has done so much for us. Even at the end of John, it says, you know, if we wrote everything he did, it couldn't possibly be held in the world. Really, if you think about it, if we wrote down everything he's ever done for us, I don't think the world could contain it. I don't even think we could remember it. It would only be by the Spirit would we be able to remember all the things that he's done for us. And the depth of love that he has for us is still an experiential growth that we're going through. Whew. I think God has taken us on a journey. I know he's taken me personally on a journey, especially these last 24 months probably, of it's almost like a rebirth, a metamorphosis about what is important and how is he important in my life. And with all the things going on, good, bad, indifferent, who's the most important in my life? Him. And when there's chaos in my life, where does chaos get silenced? Only through him. When, you know, the doctor gives you, like the doctor told me a couple of weeks ago that I had a autoimmune disease, I'm like, I got to go to Jesus, because I don't know what that is, but I know who he is and I know what he can do for me. And just realizing that, you know, it is just all him, all him. Our grandkids, our kids, our work, our finances, it's all him. It's nothing else but him. That's it. I don't see how people live without him. I don't see how people live. I know we've all done it because we weren't born saved, right? But you know, yeah, the more we are transformed like him, the more we can't believe what it would be like to not have him. We're going to go to Luke 7. We're going to talk about anointing. Anointing the feet of Jesus. I love that song. All my oil. Sometimes I play it over and over and over again. Verse 36. There was something about this story that just caught my eye. The Lord gave me a bunch of scriptures to read this week, and there was something about this one. It says, then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. Let's make that clear. First of all, she was a woman. That was enough. That was enough against her, right? Next of all, she was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table
sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. I'm just going to stop there. Now, imagine how she knew. I was thinking about this. Now, how did she know that Jesus was there? I'm sure that the towns were like a little rumor mill. Jesus is going to eat with Simon, you know, and he, I think they were in Capernaum or right in the skirts of Capernaum, and all these things that already happened in Capernaum. He had, you know, healed Peter's mother. He had the paralytic, the lame man. He, you know, all these things had happened. He had preached the Beatitudes. You know, he'd done all these things. And can you imagine what it was like being a sinner woman? Because we know that women were not as valued as men, to barge in to a man's home who was hosting who she thought he was. I don't know. It doesn't say who she thought he was. She just knew she had to get before him. To burst through, can you imagine? And throw herself at his feet with the only thing she had. Her oil. Her oil. Verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And then she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Everything she had, she threw before him, including her hair. Her tears, she kissed him, she poured over him, she made a spectacle of herself, and a house full of men would have been around the table. The women would have been in the back cooking. Can you imagine what Jesus felt? He goes on to tell, we'll read it, but when that bursting through happened, he tells Simon, you didn't even wash my feet. You didn't even greet me with a holy kiss. You really didn't even give me the time of day. You just let me come in. And here's this woman who's thrown it all in front of me. All. Everything. And she's a sinner. But she gave it all. It just makes me cry. I was reading it. I was like, God, have I given it all? You deserve it all. But what does all really even look like? What does all look like today? My all was trying not to overorganize the morning and just let the worship flow and let Jesus be and let us soak. And let the time fly. Because what's time? Nothing to Jesus. I think that's a question we just have to continually ask ourselves every morning. God, I want to give it all to you. So show me how to give you my all. Show me how to make room. I was looking at my calendar this morning and I was thinking, I need room. I need some room for Jesus. I need more room than he's got right now. I feel like I need time. I need to push some stuff out of the way so I got more time with you so you can have it all. I got to work it around work. I got to work it around everything. But Jesus is the great workaround. He will work it around everything. If I say, Jesus, I want time to give you my all, then he'll work out the time. Verse 38, I'm just going to read that again. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with tears and wipe them with the hair of her head and kiss his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee saw who had invited, I'm sorry, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner a woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. If he knew she was a sinner, then everybody's going to know he's a sinner. That it's funny when, you know, we think of things, it actually doesn't even make sense. That doesn't even make sense. And Jesus answered to him and said, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he goes on about the two creditors. I'm not going to read that, but I do want to go to the part that says, 44, it says, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair, with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. She loved much. It doesn't say she loved perfect. It said she loved much. She loved with all she had. It's all she had. That's the only way she knew how, was to fall at his feet, anoint, kiss, lavish him with everything she had. And then verse 48, he says to her, your sins are forgiven. And then 50, he says to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That is a powerful imagery of us as we go to Jesus with all that we have. We just lavish him with the much love that we have. And as we pour it out, you know that he pours more into us so that we're able to pour out more to others. I'm going to skip over to John. There's a couple other scriptures I was going to read, but I'm actually going to skip those because I feel like in this place, we need to go over to John 14. Because God has invited us to fall in love with him at a deeper level. You know, we love Jesus, but there is a greater love that we can have for him. And only he can help us have a deeper depth of love for him. Do I love him as much as I loved him when I was 9? No, I love him more. You know, as I've gotten to know him, I love him more and more and more and more. I was having a little true confession this morning with him as I was praying, and I realized I had read something, and that someone had had a breakthrough, and I was praying, you know, for that breakthrough, for that anointing to come on me, and then I realized that it really wasn't for that breakthrough. What I really needed to be praying was for more of him. Because he'll work out the breakthroughs that I need as I pursue more of him. And like I always tell you, I have a huge laundry list, you know. If he ever asks me what I want, I'm like, it's like one of those cartoons where the paper keeps rolling. It's just because there's so much that I know is possible with him. But right now he's saying, I am your possibility. So whatever you want, you come to me, not with the rolled out papers, but come to me with your heart. The rest of it will fall in place, right? I've read 2 good books lately, and I would encourage you guys to read it. I might have mentioned it before. One of them is called His House, His Presence by Michael Miller. If you want to go into the depth of worship, and it's just really good. And the other one is Holy Spirit by Michael Koulianos. Both books, really, really good. They'll take you to places that you just didn't know were in you and bring you to a depth of worship and oneness with him that is really powerful. Okay, John 14:19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. There is a oneness. There is an indwelling of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by the Spirit of the living God in us. We are one with him. When we become born again, we are one. There is no question there. It says right here in the Word, and the Word is true. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So, you know, it's interesting because it doesn't say he who loves me will keep my commandments. He says he who keeps my commandments will love me. Because as we keep his commandments, there is a love within us that grows because we're falling within the unity, the oneness of God, because we're doing what he's told us to do. That is very powerful, isn't it? We follow him. The love comes with it. And not only that, I love this. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So we're in a manifestation of Christ in us all the time. And the love, that pure love he has for us, is like liquid gold in us. Let's go to 15:9. I'm going to wrap it up with this. Whew. I'm going to go one other place too. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. That alone is almost hard to take in. Because the Father loved Jesus so much, loved his Son so much, that he gave his life for us. That's how much the Father loves us. He loves Jesus, and he loves us in the same way he loves Jesus. That is a fear and trembling scripture right there. Because what does that look like, God? It looks like now, here, but it looks like more, and I don't know. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Will live in his love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Jesus is saying, just follow me. Because I followed what the Father told me. And I, what does it say here? Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I followed the Father in all he instructed me, and I live out of the Father's love. You follow me in all I instruct you, and you will live out of not only my love, but the love of the Father that surpasses all understanding. It says that the love of God surpasses all understanding. We're going to be loved past our ability to even comprehend. And it's pure, and it's holy, and it's reverent, and it's tangible. It's so, I don't know. It's like that, you know, remember how we used to sing that song, How He Loves Me? And it's just like a sloppy wet kiss. It's real. God's love is real, and it's alive. Whew. Doesn't that make you want to jump up?
Yeah.
Okay, last scripture, I promise. It's going to be John 17:23. And Jesus is praying for all believers. He's talking to the Father. I would encourage you this week to read this whole discourse, John 13-17. It says, I in them, so Jesus is in us, and Father, you are in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world will know, the world's got to know that you sent me and have loved them the way you loved me. The world has to know that we carry an overflowing, out of control, splashing over love of Jesus that's going to affect them. And that's our hurdle.
to love them the way Jesus loves us. But God has empowered us by his Spirit to do so. I had this, one of my clients has a marketing company that has been very great for us. And then all of a sudden they switched our rep, who was beyond challenging. So we're having conference calls and it's terrible. And I keep praying. I'm like, Lord, what are we going to do about this? So I thought, well, first, we may find a new marketing company because I don't think we can deal with that. Then I'm like, well, maybe they'll just give us a new person. Then I was like, well, Lord, I'm just going to start praying for her because obviously she's either new or she doesn't know what she's doing. But I told the manager of the company, I said, let's give her some time. Let's get her some time to get to know our account, to get to know us. Let's give her some time. And I've been praying for her and frustrated, but praying. But I got an email yesterday that said she's not going to be on our account any longer. But there was a part of me that I was like so sad because I've been praying for her. I'm seriously, if I would have been praying for her and I was like, Lord, I hope she didn't get fired. God, just take care of her and protect her. And I'm thinking, that was a big 360 right there. So, you know, God is trying to teach us to love the way he loves us. He is a pure, holy, unadulterated, just all out, you know, whether they deserve it or not. We didn't deserve it, but we got it. So whoever we encounter is probably not going to deserve it, but they just need to get it. And they need to get it. I told you guys I was playing tennis with someone who was really mean to us. So the next time we play, I didn't really care. You know, we just killed them. It didn't matter. So you can be mean all you want. But the next time we played, she came up to me. She says, I just want to tell you how sorry I am for being so mean. And we got through playing. She says, can I just give you a hug? And I was like, sure. But it was a little weird for a minute. You know? She said, I just want to hug you. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, we're friends. I'm like, yes. But, you know, sometimes we forget that, you know, there's prickly things that get in our way. And we present ourselves to people that didn't look like Jesus's love. And then God reminds us that he's poured it all into us. And so that prickly stuff gets washed away, and all of a sudden you have compassion for people that you don't have compassion for. You have a pureness of love that you're learning to walk out of. And that's what God wants us to walk away with today, just to know that he loves us the way he loves his son, who gave it all for us, and we are one with him. Amen? Amen. So if, Chuck said no. we're gonna hold that for a minute, okay? Yeah, I'm gonna ask you guys to stand. I'm gonna let you come on up, Kathy. Hand me a mic, honey.
Well, my father, who was like my knight in shining armor, because I was abused by my mother, but my father was always there, and he, you know, he protected me as much as he could. Well, he got an aneurysm in his back, and they rushed him to the hospital, and it burst when he got to the hospital, and they rushed him into surgery. He lost 70% of his blood, and when I got to see him, there must have been 10 machines. They had to keep his lungs moving. They had to keep, you know, he had these huge tubes going down his mouth, and I held his hand, and I said, Daddy, I love you. And it took every ounce of, because he was even on paralyzing medicine. His eyes couldn't open. And he, with every ounce of strength he had, he said, I love you too. But God, then God said to me, I love you so much more. And that,
that's good. Thank you. Thank you. God loves us so much more. So let me just pray for us. And I'm just going to pray this John 7:23 over us, that Jesus is in us and we are in him, and that we are made perfect in one. And the world is going to know that we carry his pure love to them, and that he has sent us, and that we are one with the Father. So, Lord, I just thank you that there is a, I just keep seeing a liquid gold being poured into each one of us, and that you are almost bringing us through a birthing of love. And so, Lord, where there is anything that doesn't align with love, I pray that you highlight it to us and wash it out of us so that we can truly be a love representation of you everywhere we go. And God, we just thank you that Jesus has poured out everything for us so that we could receive the fullness of love from you. And we bless you. Amen and amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you are encouraged. If you would like more content like this, please visit cindy-stewart.com. We'll see you next time.